Good morning.
Good morning.
Today I'll be reading Romans chapter 14, verse 11. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God."
Yeah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, you are the source of every good gift and the creator of all. Receive the offerings we bring today as a sign of our gratitude and love for you. Bless these gifts and use us along with them to do your work in the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Scripture for today comes from 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 25 through 26. It happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made. May God add his blessings to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, William. Yeah, in case you're wondering about the shoeboxes, this is not all of the shoeboxes. By the way, many of them were done online. And so while we don't have the total number yet, we did exceed our goal. And so thank you again for that. Well, today, as we continue studying in the book of 1 Kings, what a rewarding and fruitful study this has been for me. I hope you would say the same, even though there's still a lot more to study. We're soon going to hit the pause button on our study through 1 Kings, because as we now very quickly come into the Christmas season, I'll begin doing a Christmas series of messages through the month of December. That's my plan right now. And so we'll have one more Sunday in Kings. And then we have Youth Sunday, the last Sunday of this month, and then we go into our December. And so next week will probably be the last sermon in our 1 Kings series until sometime in January, probably. But for today, we find ourselves back in chapter 14, where in last week, if you were here with us, and if you weren't, just a little information about where we are. We saw how a father and a mother can have positive and or negative influences in their children's lives. In the case of Rehoboam, King Rehoboam, who is king of the southern kingdom in Israel. Israel is divided into two kingdoms at this point. The northern kingdom, made up of 10 tribes. The southern kingdom, made up of 2 tribes, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. We've been dealing with the northern tribes for many weeks with King Jeroboam. King Jeroboam has now died. And now the attention has been turned to the southern kingdom, where we find King Rehoboam is reigning there. Now King Rehoboam is the son of Solomon, who was king over all of Israel. And what we find in terms of his parents and the influence that they had in his life was that his own father, King Solomon, most likely had very little influence in his life, because Solomon was preoccupied with many other ventures that he had. He was preoccupied with his work. He was preoccupied with real estate. He was really big in real estate. He loved to build big, nice, beautiful things. But not only that, but Solomon was heavily involved in politics, and he loved women. So all of these things began to encroach in Solomon's life in such a way that it most likely hindered, impeded his ability to be a godly father to his children. And what that means in terms of Rehoboam is that Rehoboam's mother, she would have been the one who had the major influence in his life, which concluded with, at the end of his life, we find this, concluded with him engaging in detestable practices with his life and with his leadership. So not only did he secure detestable practices in the way that he lived daily, but he encouraged that with the people that he was leading. And so the people of which he led became people who practiced detestable things as well. But all of this should be understood also in light of this, that Rehoboam, from very early on, had the odds stacking against him in life. Even though he was born into the king's family, his father was the king, still many things were being stacked against him from an early age. Why? Because, well, at least in part, he had an absent kind of father. But also in part, that he had a pagan mother who was teaching him how to be a man. She was teaching him how to be a pagan man. And as difficult as it is for us to take our learned behavior and break the cycle of learned behavior, if in fact the learned behaviors in our lives are that of an ungodly lifestyle or ungodly behavior or not biblical behavior, if we've learned anything from anybody that is of that nature, then we must also understand this, even if it were to come from a parent, that we must understand that we're still going to be accountable to God for what we've learned and how we behave, how we exhibit those things of which we've learned in this world, whether it be with our behavior, whether it be with our lifestyle, or whether it be with our beliefs. God is still going to hold each one of us accountable, even if we've had bad teachers in our lives. Even if we've had ungodly role models in our lives, God's still going to hold you and me accountable to ourselves. Why? Because each one of us are also charged with seeking the Lord ourselves. We find an example of this in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And he made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though the Lord is not far from each of us. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said this regarding seeking him. He says, you will know the truth, and his truth will set you free. Well, set us free from what? Set us free from the bondage of sin. Will set us free from the condemnation of sin. Will set us free from the judgment of sin that will come to all of those who live ungodly lives, ungodly lifestyles, ungodly beliefs. The truth of God's word will set us free from all of that, regardless of how or what we have learned from other people in this world. So even though Rehoboam had some really bad examples of role models in his life, he also had God and God's truth that was available to him, as does every person to some degree or another, just as King Asa did. Asa is spelled A-S-A. King Asa is another king that we find in the scriptures. You'll find him, moreover, in 2 Chronicles. We're in Kings right now, but if you look into the book of 2 Chronicles, particularly in the 15th chapter, you'll find this story regarding King Asa. He also had a mom who was a piece of work. His mom was one who was leading a path of idolatry, idol worship, and she too was doing some detestable things. But in verse 16 of chapter 15 in 2 Chronicles, we find this, that King Asa went and took the things that his mom was doing and he cut them down. Literally, he crushed them and then he burned them in the Kedron Valley. Now, what was it that motivated a son to do that regarding the way or the life of his own mother? Well, it happened in verse 2. Of chapter 15 from 2 Chronicles. It says this, a prophet of God came to speak to King Asa, and he said this, to Asa and all of Judah and all of Benjamin. Remember, Judah and Benjamin are the two tribes that make up the southern kingdom. Most often they are referred to simply as the southern kingdom of Judah, even though Benjamin was a part of that as well. So he says, hear me, Asa and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, when Asa began to hear God's truth being spoken to him, he realized that the truth that was being spoken was in strong opposition to the way that his mom had been living. He realized that his mom was off the charts and the things that she had been teaching him and trying to teach others, that these things were not right, they were not true, they should not be done. And he came to the conclusion that I cannot live the way that my mother has been living. I can't do this. Why? Because I need for the Lord to direct me in truth, because I see that now my mother has not been directing me in truth in this world. And so he goes and he tears down and he destroys, he burns the things that his mom had began to build up in this world. Now, of course, we should hope that God's truth is taught by parents everywhere to children everywhere, that godliness, biblical standards, biblical values, that these are the things that parents are teaching and modeling to children everywhere, because that's the way it should be. Proverbs 22 tells us that. Train up a child in the way that he should go. However, we know that that's not always the way it is. It's not always true that every parent, even parents who claim to be followers of Christ, it is not always true that they teach nor do they model what it is to really exemplify following Christ. And when it's not the case, when parents fail to lead us in godliness, when they fail to lead us in holiness, and how is it that we're to know that they are not leading us in godliness or they're not leading us in holiness? Well, it's because we study God's word ourselves. Paul said this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, one who rightly divides, or another word that can be translated there is handles, one who rightly handles the word of truth. So, if parents fail us regarding godliness and teaching us holiness, we don't go their way. We don't follow their example. No, we follow Jesus. We follow Jesus' example. We follow what he has told us in his word. We follow the way. We follow the truth. We follow the life that is in Jesus alone, because we know that in Jesus' way, truth, and life, that is the only way that we come to the Father in heaven. The only way. And all of this should also spur the question in our hearts. Well, what about those people who don't know about God's truth? What about the parents that don't know about God's truth? What about the children that don't know? Well, the answer to that question is actually so big for you and me. That answer to that question is so big, it should be life-changing for you and I. Because the answer to the question, what about the ones who don't know God's truth, whether they be parent or child alike? The answer to that question is you. The answer to the question is the church. The answer to the question is the Christians who are followers of Jesus. We are the ones who bring the truth. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring or preach the good news, right? We talked about that just a few weeks ago in the book of Romans. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we are told, you, follower of Jesus, are to be his witnesses. Witnesses to who? Well, not to Jesus, not necessarily, not in its whole. Witnesses to other people about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28, we're told, we who follow Jesus, we are to be the teachers to others. Jesus said, go and teach them. Go and make disciples. In other words, we are to be the modelers of God's truth for all other people. And get this, Jesus even went so far as to say this, and don't wait for them to come to you. Jesus says, you go to them. Don't just wait for somebody to come and knock on your door and say, hey, tell me about this God that you say you know and you love. And some people don't even know what question to ask. And so Jesus says, it's incumbent upon you to be led by my spirit, to be obedient to my spirit, to be spontaneous in the moment that you would speak my truth to others, even by the wayside. And so this is one of the reasons why it's so important for you and I to maintain spiritual discipline in our own lives. What are spiritual disciplines? Well, things that the scripture teaches us are things like this, to pray without ceasing. That's who you and I should be. Ones who are always seeking God's plan, God's purpose for our life, that we would fulfill his will. Ones who are always walking in the wisdom of the Lord. That's why Paul said, study to show yourself approved. That means you're walking in the wisdom of the Lord. To be one who seeks peace with all people. To be one who forgives other people with great grace being imparted from you to them regarding this. And then to teach them all of the things that the Lord has so taught you through his word. These are really the hallmarks of following Jesus. That you are to be his witness to those around you or to those who you encounter along the way. So what I'm telling you, friends, is that you can't afford to be off of your game. You can't afford to live outside of the character of Christ, which you claim to possess as a follower of Christ. Because you are the one who is now charged with showing them who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, what Jesus is all about, what Jesus will do for them. You and I, you carry that charge with you. And for some people, showing them Jesus just one time will be enough to break through for all of eternity for them. Some people, it'll take more than once. But for some people, that one encounter with you and the truth of God's word will be that transforming moment when they too will be born again. Thankfully, someone showed King Asa the truth of God's word, showed him the truth of God's way. Otherwise, who knows how far his own mother would have taken him down the path of destruction of which she herself was traveling on. But now let me blow your mind concerning something regarding King Rehoboam now. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 14. In verse 21, the Bible tells us there, we touched on this last week, the Bible says that King Rehoboam reigned for 17 years. Verse 22 says, he led the nation to do more evil than anyone had before him. And if that's all we knew about King Rehoboam and his reigning as king in the southern kingdom, if that's all we knew, then we would leave this story saying how terrible all of this is. 17 years of this man's life wasted. 17 years of the kingdom, the southern kingdom of God's people, wasted by a man who was confused and a man who was compromised by the world. How terrible. However, that's not all we know about this story. It's all we're told in 1 Kings chapter 14, but it's not all of the story because the story is also chronicled in the book of Chronicles as well, in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, we find much more detail about what's happening here. You might remember that after Israel was split, King Solomon dies, and the kingdom is then split. God wanted to split the kingdom. He told him the kingdom was going to be split before Solomon died, but he said, I'm going to wait until after you're dead before I do it. And so Solomon dies, Rehoboam becomes king, God splits the kingdom. And it was that as the kingdom in the north and the kingdom in the south were once established, that the kingdom in the north, when Jeroboam became king there, that it was not very long before he went off the rails and he started ordaining people to be priests that were unqualified, that never should have been leaders among the people. And they started preaching doctrines that were not true, and they started inviting the worship of other things apart from God. And there were some really godly people in the northern kingdom that said, you know what, we can't be a part of this. We're not going to be a part of this. And so they left the northern kingdom and they went to the southern kingdom. And this is what the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 7 says about that. They, the ones who left the northern kingdom because of ungodliness, they left the northern kingdom and they went south. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah. Kingdom of Judah is the southern kingdom. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah, and for 3 years they made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, secure. So in the 17-year reign of King Rehoboam, this man who the scripture says did more evil than anyone before him, that did not happen until after the 3rd year of his reign. The first 3 years of his reign were secure, which means they were faithful, they were fruitful, they were pleasing to the Lord. And the reason for that, though, is because of the influence of godly people in the culture. They even influenced the king. These people who left the north and came to the south, they were the influential ones in the kingdom. It was their fervor for worship. It was their inclination and their desire to be sacrificial in their spirit, to live sacrificial lives. They were the ones that brought strength to the kingdom, to the whole nation in the south. And God blessed them, but not just them. God blessed the whole nation. And here's what I hope that you'll see in this. The nation's spiritual growth, the spiritual blessing that they experienced, did not come exclusively from leaders among them. No, it came from the general population. It came from moms and dads and others who were truly in love with the Lord and consecrated themselves before the Lord. Now, consecrate, I know that's a word we don't use very often in our common daily language. So a lot of us, even though you may have heard it in church many times, it's something that many people may not understand. So let me just give you a very simple definition of what it means to be consecrated or to consecrate yourself before the Lord. It means being fully committed to God and His will, meaning that you are fully surrendered to living for Him. That's what it means to be consecrated before the Lord. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, the scripture says this, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Not only that, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. You'll see it elsewhere. The Lord says, be holy, for I am holy. The Lord expects His people to be holy. The way you become holy before the Lord, holy before others, is to consecrate yourself, dedicate yourself to the Lord and His will. In Romans, over in the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul said it this way, believers, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And that's what the people were doing in those first 3 years as Rehoboam was king. They really were. They were submitting themselves to the Lord. They were living sacrificial lives before the Lord. They were obeying His word. They were worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. They were doing all of these things. And the nation was prospering. And the Lord was strengthening them day by day because of this. And the same is true today. It's true that God will bless those who are people of the land, individuals in our families, people in our churches who are still seeking Him today. God will bless that. And now here's how you and I can be encouraged by that. And I hope you will be. That you play no small part. You really do. Please believe that. You play no small part in strengthening this church, in strengthening this community, in strengthening this nation and all of the kingdom of God when you consecrate yourself before the Lord. You have no small part. You play a major part in the kingdom expansion, the kingdom growth, and the blessing of God on people when you consecrate yourself before the Lord. So what I'm saying to you, friends, is don't leave holiness to other people. And don't leave the heavy lifting of the mission of the church for the leaders of the church. And don't underestimate the impact and the influence that you can have on the people around you when you really are white hot for the Lord. Because you will. You'll have a wonderful and beautiful impact. To help us with this, remember always, as I said to you a moment ago, Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, when the people of God, the people of the church, when we come together, when we really consecrate ourselves, the promise is this: the Lord will do amazing things among you. But it begins with consecration. It begins with a surrendering to the Lordship of God, to the authority of God's word over your life. That's God's promise. It's always been God's promise. And that's what was happening in the southern kingdom until it wasn't happening. Until they no longer maintained spiritual discipline in their lives. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1. When the rule of Rehoboam was established and he was strong. That's what the scripture said. Okay, that's the first 3 years. When the rule of Rehoboam was established and Rehoboam was strong, comma, he abandoned the law of the Lord, and so did all of Israel with him. 3 years blessed by the Lord. 3 years of strength in the Lord. But it went to their heads. After 3 years, they abandoned the law of the Lord. What happened? They failed to maintain their spiritual discipline. They failed to remember that it was God who was the cause of their blessing, that it was God who was the cause of all their strength. And now they are forsaking the one who blesses. They are forsaking the one who strengthens. They just simply did what so many people do. They abandoned their neediness for God. They abandoned the worship of God. They abandoned the worship of God and the word of God altogether. When all was going well for them, that's what happened. Life was good. And so subconsciously they started thinking, I don't need God. Life is good. But notice what happened also. It wasn't just the king. The people who once inspired the king to live godly, to live under the authority of God's rule, now they begin following the king. They had had tremendous influence on the king for these 3 years. But now the table turns. And what a sad reversal. The people who came and were a part of strengthening the kingdom now are a part of weakening the kingdom. And friends, this is showing us how dangerous it is, how dangerous it can be for anyone to begin coasting when life is going well. I can't tell you how many people have come to me broken, crying, asking me to pray with them, asking me for biblical advice, guidance on decisions they need to make moving forward. And we work through all of that. We pray through it all together. Weeks or perhaps a couple of months go by and things start to turn around. They start to get better. And then those people disappear. They don't have contact with me. They don't have contact with the church. Why? Because life's going well again. They don't serve in the church as they once did. They don't serve others. They don't live sacrificial like they once did. Man, when they were hurting, they were ready to do anything they could to please God. Everything was about God. God, what do you want? What do I need to be doing? How can I serve you? I need to make sure I'm right with you, God. But after things started going well, they just slowly start drifting away. When health is good, When the bank account's good, when relationships are good, when the job is good, when church is good, when you get to do the things you really enjoy doing on the weekends, when all of that's good, friends, that's when the temptation will then lurk into your life to abandon God, to abandon His Word and your neediness for Him. In the case of Rehoboam, it took less than 2 years, probably more like a year. But less than 2 years. The first 3 years were consecrated. First 3 years were blessed and strengthened by the Lord. But look at 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. And it happened in the fifth year. So Rehoboam's been reigning 5 years now. In the fifth year that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and he took away everything, including the gold shields that Solomon had made. Now, the scripture already says took away everything, so why the need to include also, or to say in addition? Let me remind you that the golden shields, they were also taken. Well, we're already told everything was taken, so why are the golden shields mentioned specifically? Because the golden shields were a symbol of the strength of Israel. But they are specifically being named here because the Bible is revealing to us that the strength of Israel was being taken away from her, because they had forsaken God. The people went from being consecrated unto the Lord, where they were blessed and where they were strengthened and amazing things were happening, to now they're being condemned by the Lord, and they are lacking and they are weak and they are oppressed, and all of that happened in less than 2 years because they abandoned their need for God and they abandoned the Word of God. Now today I want to wrap it up and conclude this for you in this way. By enlightening, if perhaps you're not aware, but that the true test of genuine devotion to the Lord, this is true for every one of us, the true test of genuine devotion to the Lord is not that you draw close to the Lord when your world is falling apart. Lots of people do that. And then they turn right back around and they forsake God right after things start to get a little better. So the true test of genuine devotion to the Lord is not that you run to God when things are going bad and your world's falling apart. No, it's choosing to stay close to the Lord throughout time, regardless of what trouble or trial you are engaged in. It's maintaining your spiritual disciplines when times are good and when times are bad. That when times are good or bad, that does not determine whether or not you're going to be faithful to God or not. You've got to determine that you're going to be faithful to God in the bad times and in the good times. You've got to maintain your spiritual discipline throughout time. So always pray. Spiritual discipline number one. Always pray. Pray without ceasing and pray Christ-centered, kingdom-focused prayer. We've talked about that a lot. Always serve God whether you feel like doing it or not. How many of us say, you know what, I'm just tired. I've been doing that for so long, I'm just tired. God doesn't ever call us to stop serving Him, does He? Maybe He might call us to serve in a different way, but He never calls us to stop serving Him. So we serve Him whether we feel like it or not. Never go off your feelings. Not only that, but to always make whatever sacrifices you need to make. To be sure that you are able to invest your life into making disciples for Jesus Christ. I wonder if that one might speak to your hearts today. Are you making whatever sacrifices are necessary to ensure that you are doing what Jesus has commissioned you to do to make disciples? Are you making whatever sacrifice of time or resources, energy, whatever sacrifices are necessary to be sure that you are investing in making disciples for Jesus? Another spiritual discipline is to be sure that we're always seeking the Lord's will, to do that through His Word, so that we do not sin against Him, but even more so, so that we are sure that we are fulfilling His task that He has for us. So friends, don't fall into the trap of making life about your good times or about your bad times. We're going to be tempted to do that. You're going to be tempted to be wrapped up in everything that's bad in your life, or you're going to be tempted to only be wrapped up in everything that's good about your life. Be careful and don't do that. The word of caution is don't make it about the good times or the bad times. Make life about maintaining spiritual discipline to the Lord, whether life is good or life is bad. Doesn't matter. Make your life about maintaining spiritual discipline to the Lord, whether things are going well for you or things are not going well to you. And then watch as the Lord does amazing things in your life. Now, that was the promise, right? Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. When you consecrate your life to Him, He will do amazing things. Friends, I want to see God do amazing things through your life. I can only trust that you want to see that too. But if we really are going to want to see God do amazing things through our life, it doesn't mean that God just does amazing things through our life. No, it means we've got to get on board with God. It means we've got to consecrate ourselves to Him. So let it start today by you determining that if you've not already, but that you're going to determine now that you're going to consecrate yourself before Him. And that you're going to be His witness. No matter what life throws at you, or no matter how good life is for you, that you're going to continue to maintain your neediness of the Lord and your commitment to obeying His word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Your word that transforms, your word that brings us to the realization that we can be made new and we will be made new if we will but surrender to you and your authority. If we will but give our lives to following the one who gave His life for us. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be worshiped. You are worthy to be served. And I pray, Father, that we will be a people who see you not only as our Father in heaven, but we see you as our Master. And that we see ourselves not only as the children of God, but we see ourselves as the servants of God. So that those who have been deceived and those who have had bad role models in their lives and bad teachers, Lord, that they will see the goodness of the truth of God's word being lived out through the good of God's people. So, Lord, help us to be faithful. And, Lord, if any of us are parents, that we would be faithful examples to our children in teaching and in modeling. But Lord, even far beyond our own doors, for all that we encounter, that we would be faithful teachers and we would be godly examples to those who you place in our path. Lord, lead us to great faithfulness. And Lord, do amazing things through each of our lives as we consecrate ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, as we sing our song of invitation, if the Lord's impressed anything on your heart that you want to bring to the altar and pray about, come and pray. But if the Lord's speaking to your heart in such a way that you need to surrender your life to Him, be cleansed of all your sin and begin that new walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're ready to become a saved child of God, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be removed, that you can go throughout the days that you have remaining in this world confident that you are in the Lord and no one can take you out of His love and out of His mighty right hand. Come and make today your day of salvation, and I'll be glad to walk with you through that. Would you stand as we sing?